We hear a lot about the term divorce recovery, and it makes me think, how is it? Can you recover? Those of you who've been through it, how do you recover? What have you experienced in the process of recovering from divorce? And so we're going to just pull the screen back a little bit, hear your stories, maybe your encouragement, your warnings, whatever it may be. By the way, we'd love to have you share yours on our comment line at 888-888-1717, because the rest of the program is going to be from our archives, a program that we think you'll enjoy, because the comments that you're going to hear and the stories you're going to hear are going to be either giving you a warning or an encouragement, a help. So come on in and be a part of Intentional Living. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson here today. And again, if you would like to share a story with us of divorce recovery, what have you learned? What would you pass along to others? Call us at 888-888-1717. Intentional Living is a ministry dedicated to one thing, that's helping each of us to live life the way God intends. God does not intend for us, if you're going through divorce, to live in misery, in guilt, and being jammed and caught and stuck and depressed, but to find freedom and hope and maybe in some cases even restoration and reconciliation. Not always possible, but sometimes. We're hopeful for sure. And today, we want to continue to extend that hope. What is God's intention for those of you going through divorce and recovering from it today? We want to talk to you about that. And if you're not new to Intentional Living, come on back in. Glad to have you be a part of the show as we pray for each other, encourage each other on this journey, because we know it's in the moments of life, living in the next intentional moment, that makes all the difference. Intentional Living, coming from our studio today, is committed to one thing: to help us figure out what pleases Christ and then do it. Come on in.
Hello, Brother Randy. This is Terry, and I have recently moved to Odessa, Texas, and am the new minister to families with children. And absolutely love holding the babies, teaching the Bible stories, and doing what God has called me to do. I had a marriage that I thought was wonderful, 4 children, and we were in a wonderful ministry that God called us to, and my ex chose to pursue other men and pursue prescription pills. It has been a long, hard battle. She moved them back to Oklahoma, and it's been very hard for me to see my children. So I have intentionally loved on my children and spent time with them when I can, and the family is broken. But I have intentionally pursued healing through celebrate recovery for abandonment and loneliness issues. And being a minister to children for all these years, it's been very hard to not hold my own children. But God has provided grace, peace, and so I'm pursuing the healing that I need. But I thank you for your lesson and your message on leaning in, because I'm certainly leaning in to God's healing today. Thank you, brother. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you for sharing that. You know, there's nothing fair about divorce. There's scars. No one gets out of this clean. And it's painful, and you know. And here to offer grace and hope today that God loves you, and as you go through this process of recovering, maybe you can help others from what you've learned, and maybe a warning to someone in their marriage today: make that marriage work. You know, that's our passion here at Intentional Living. If you've got a marriage, make that marriage work. Honor God. Makes a difference. Okay, let's go. We got callers standing by. Greg is first. Welcome to the program, Craig.
How you doing, Randy?
Good, good. Appreciate your call. What's your comment on this today? What's your story?
Well, my comment is divorce is very, very painful, and my father had 5 kids and went through a divorce with my mother back in the 60s, and he's deceased now. I'm not going to bore you with that, but it was very, very emotional for us 5 biological kids to get through it. And even today, you know, in our 60s and my other brother's 67, it's been a huge, huge problem for years. Yeah. But now it seems like, Randy, it's rolling over to my son. Just to give you a little background, I divorced his mother in the 80s. I did call you back in the 80s when I was in Arizona talking about ADD, and I might be ADDA. You might remember that, but maybe you don't. But anyway, my son, back in New York, him and I had a little bit of a argument, and the argument was this. He's 35 years old now. He said, Dad, he said, are you going to be back from Arizona in the hospital for when Katie delivers in March? And he caught me off guard, and I said, well, yeah, I think so. He goes, well, what do you mean you think so? I said, well, I'm going to be in Arizona, and I just got married, and we're driving cross-country in the car, and then we're coming back. And, you know, he kind of caught me off guard. The stock answer would have been, yes, Greg, I wouldn't miss it in the world. You're my only son. That's going to be my granddaughter. I'm going to be grandpa, and all this sort of stuff. Anyway, it didn't go that way. He got really upset, and I was shocked. The stuff that he said, I don't respect you. I only came to your 60th birthday party because Katie wanted me to. I made that collage of all the pictures that we did stuff throughout, you know, my 35 years, you know, because Katie wanted me to, his wife. And, you know, he was just bringing up the past. Mm. And so, anyway, I'll read this short letter back to you if you got a little bit of time. Dear Greg, I hope this letter finds you well. This was January 20th of this year. Please forgive me for anything that I have done wrong or said. Sometimes all of us say and do things we don't mean, okay, or do. It proves that we're all human in an imperfect world that was supposed to be made perfect. I'm really heartbroken that I did not see you or my daughter-in-law at Christmas for the New Year's. Nannon and I, my wife, came over on Tuesday afternoon to drop off Christmas gifts, but I didn't want to leave them at the door. You weren't home. I really was hoping we could have connected then, and I wanted to talk to you and Katie in person. All right, at the end, I just said I was, you know, I'm proud of you and happy, and, you know, when you were born, I was passing out cigars to my friends. Now, 35 years later, okay, you're having your first daughter. Every baby is a true blessing from above, and I said, Greg, you know, let's move on, bury the hatchet, and let's try to move on and only look at the good times, and let's try to move forward in time for a better future. Mm-hmm.
What's come of it? Are you guys able to restore this as a result of, I'm assuming this is because of the divorce that you've been through. What is the nature of your relationship today?
Well, the nature of my relationship was always good with my son. With his mother, it wasn't. She held him, and this is one thing I want to get across to any mother that has kids and the father's paying child support. The worst thing that a mother could do is to hold the kid's ransom to say, pay or you don't see, or to interfere with the court order. Like every other Christmas Eve, I was supposed to see my son every year, or 2 weeks in the summer. I never got him. It wasn't because I wasn't paying. It's just it was an inconvenience for her.
Mm. All right. Hey, Greg, I'm sorry, man. I got to move on. I got people standing at the door knocking here that want to share as well, and I want to get to those calls. So appreciate your call, and God bless you. Thank you for sharing your heart with us. Some of you have been through divorce. You are children of divorce, and you know the impact that's had on you. And you have children, some of you, and you've been through divorce, and you know you're feeling guilty, and you're trying to, and don't feel guilty from the standpoint of making you a bad parent. Allow those feelings of guilt to drive you to be an intentional parent, because now more than ever, you have to stand up and be the parent that those kids need in their life. But divorce hurts, there's no question. Some of you could stand here with tears. Some of you did share with me and with Donna out in the lobby today how you've been hurt through divorce and you're going through difficult times. And some of you, I know some of you right today are in this room on the verge of leaving one another. You've had it. Challenge you is just to take the cost thing into mind. It's a costly thing.
Boy, it is. You know, there's a cost to everything. A cost to stay married, there's a cost to divorce. And the question is, what's the cost? And how do we honor Christ? So God bless you. Hey, Carlos, welcome to the program, my friend. Go right ahead. What's your comment today?
Hey, Randy. It's good to be here.
Thank you.
Today, I just wanted to share very quickly my story through divorce with my wife. When I was engaged with my wife, I cheated on her a few times, and then I did not tell her about her, and I married her on false pretense. Mm-hmm. And after being married, I tried to cheat on her again, and essentially that led to the divorce. And we were both Christian. Being honest, she was Christian. I wasn't. And the fact that you can call yourself Christian and go to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than being in a garage makes you a car.
Right.
So my struggle with it was to find forgiveness for the longest time, because after the divorce happened, it's painful, as you say. Any divorce would be painful. And I could not bring to get forgiveness, because I was the party that wronged the other one. It was my fault that I broke her heart. I'm not pointing anything at her. You know, this is all just about me and from my perspective, the things that happen. And essentially, it took me months and months and months. And when the divorce happened, like, that was when God came to me. And God started speaking to me. And the part that broke my heart more than anything was the fact that God spoke to me and ministered me and told me that even though I was the one to mess it up, that he loved me just as much as he loved her.
Right.
And that brought me to my knees in prayer, because that's the kind of God that we serve. And after that, my heart changed and I wanted to find him. So I took up ownership of every mistake that I had made in the marriage, every finger that I pointed at her, every failure to take responsibility that I had. And I went to her and I called her after we were going through the divorce, and I would call to apologize every time and to tell her, you know, you were right about this. I was wrong about this. And throughout that process, God used me to minister her back into health, and she's doing a lot better right now. When we were in marriage, she struggled with depression. Now she is thriving in her career. She's has lots of friends. She's doing great. And essentially, it's just a call to everybody that I would like to encourage. God died for you. No matter where you are, there is no place where you're at in your life, doesn't matter what you have done, that is too deep for God's hand to reach you.
Mm-hmm.
He still loves you, and he never left you, just how he never left my side.
Well, that is a great reminder, Carlos. You know, and I was thinking about what is it that the people need to consider about living intentionally during a time of divorce and recovery. And the number one thing I wrote down is what you just talked about, and that's confession of sin. And it begins with us taking 100% responsibility for ourselves. You know, one of the laws of intentional living is we're never going to heal as long as we're waving the finger in someone else's direction. That doesn't mean other people aren't responsible for some things that have occurred, and we can always play the game of 50-50 or 80-20, but the reality is if we want to heal in our life, like you have in yours, Carlos, it's a matter of confessing our own sins before God, and sometimes even to our spouse, or in your case, your ex-spouse, and ask for forgiveness to be able to have healing. Doesn't mean there's going to be a reconciliation or a restoration of that marriage. Hopefully there can be at least a reconciliation of some level of relationship. But certainly, as long as we harbor that sense that I've taken a position and I'm right and others are wrong, there's a cancer that grows inside of us. And I think the steps you've taken is a healthy one. Okay, my friend, thank you for your call. Here's one thing to manage anger more intentionally. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Minute. Create a longer fuse. It says in Proverbs 16 that he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. You know, we sometimes say count to 10 or walk around the block, but that advice really can help. Learning to slow down before you lash out. You know, the Bible says that we should be slow to anger because it's easy for us to become angry quickly. And so can I challenge you, as I challenge myself when it comes to this proverbial and almost universal problem of anger, for the next 30 days to find other outlets for your anger than through your spouse or your family or friends. Whatever it takes, that's intentional living.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
Remember when tying a string around your finger helped remind you of something? Well, it's not a thing anymore since that one guy ruined it for the rest of us.
That's really tight. I can't feel my finger anymore. Help!
That's why at the Intentional Living Store, you can get your own wristband. It's a physical reminder that the intentional life is lived one right thing at a time. And when you use that wristband, the Power of One Thing book, and the free online Intentional One Thing Challenge, you'll go from good intentions to developing transformational habits. The Intentional Living Store at theintentionallife.com.
Getting away to Alaska means you'll experience one of the most beautiful places in God's creation. And getting away to Alaska means a life-changing experience through the intentional living teaching of Dr. Randy Carlson. Step on board the Intentional Living Alaska Cruise. Get close to Alaska's magnificent landscape and get close to God. June 12th through the 19th, 2022. Your unforgettable travel experience begins at theintentionallife.com.
I want to go. I got my hand up. Hey, listen, I'll be there. My wife, Don, and I will be hosting this event. I'm going to get a chance to teach on intentional living, just very encouraging messages when we're at sea. We get together a little bit every day, have worship and praise and community. And Mike Weaver, a Big Daddy Weave, is coming. He's going to be leading us in worship, putting on a concert. He and his wife sharing. And our ministry president, Evan Carlson, and his wife, Kelly, will be there. Evan's going to be hosting and also teaching some during the week. Hey, listen, I hope you'll get your cabin today. Boy, we want to be a part of your life during this. We call it a vacation with a purpose. If you miss the dates, it's June 12th through 19th, breathing fresh air in Alaska. Love to have you be a part of it. And by the way, I've been told that those of you who are reserving that cabin online get just a little discount, something just to encourage you, because I guess it's easier for you and easier for the ministry setting up the booking. So you can check out all the information on the cruise, the information on the stops we're going to be at, and the sites you can see. Just simply go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And under events, you'll find the Alaska cruise, June 12 through 19. And boy, we want you to be a part of it as we sail together and celebrate God's goodness together in community on the Intentional Living Alaska Cruise.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
I'm thankful, you know, today I'm remarried and I have a wonderful, amazing husband, so I'm very blessed. And I had four children at the time. They're all almost grown now. And I would say, you know, I'm just the process itself, you know, so many people, and I see this over and over again as I work with divorced people, is they want to replace what's been lost, and they want to replace it fast because it's this open wound and they're trying to find a way to heal it. So they'll end up medicating on things. They'll end up trying to replace it with people. They'll get in one relationship after another. And I definitely made some of those mistakes. You're afraid. You're sitting there with these kids and you're trying to figure out how you're going to do life. And really, you don't know how to navigate. So some of the things I would say to the women and men out there who are in that place, who've come out of a divorce, is number one is you have to come to the place of acceptance, because it's so hard to realize and accept this is my life now. I mean, I am no longer a married person. I'm now single and I'm having to deal with dating and all these things. So it's saying, you know what, Lord, I surrender and I relinquish the outcome of my life to you. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand my divorce. I don't understand why I'm here, but I'm here. And so I accept that, Lord, and I surrender that to you. And now I want to work on me.
That's Michelle Borquez. If you want to hear the whole program, my discussion with her on healing and wholeness, go ahead and get to it at theintentionallife.com. Click on the broadcast highlights, and I think there's a link right there. It'll take you right to that archived broadcast. And she commented about time and trying to fill a wound with a lot of stuff. And one of the points I make in my five steps for intentional recovery is guard your heart. Stay out of, you know, that immediate kind of another romantic relationship for an extended period of time, and maybe for a lifetime, given the situation that you're in and so on. But this idea of jumping from one thing to another or one person to another is so unhealthy, and we intuitively understand that, but experientially you need to have accountability to really guard your heart and give time for healing to get to the core issues of what's been going on in your own life. Okay, Connie joins us in Kansas, from Kansas, rather. Connie, welcome to Intentional Living Center today.
Hi.
Hi there. Appreciate your call. What's your comment or question today?
I'm not divorced yet. I've been separated from my husband for about a year. Before we separated, I had been disappointed in our marriage for quite a while, and he had had a long-standing pornography addiction. And he would go back and forth and, you know, seemingly get better, and I think I also noticed the relational things that go along with that addiction and his withdrawals and inability to do the relational things for our family, but I was trying to make it work at all costs, and we have 5 children, and I came from a broken home, he came from a broken home, so I was completely committed to the marriage at all costs. And I think eventually, you know, the cost was denial of where he was really at, and it took a crisis of betrayal to really push me to look at what it would look like and what needed to happen for us to have a healthy marriage. And so right now I'm in a place of having to be strong and to give tough love so that if he can recover and if our marriage can be saved, what that would really look like.
Yeah.
And defining that for myself so that I don't lower my expectations, and that right now, honestly, even though I'm not divorced, I'm looking at just what it would take to, you know, to define myself so that I don't go through the whole process of
Part of what I hear you saying, Connie, is looking for your identity too, and who are you as a person, understanding that, and of course our identity is a oneness, a unity of, as a Christian woman, who am I, and you know, it's out of that confidence that you have in Christ. It's not a cockiness, but it's a confidence that says, hey, listen, if we're going to have this marriage work, there are certain reasonable expectations, not perfection, but certain reasonable expectations. The question is that his same desire? Is that his, based on his actions?
It seems to be, but now we have to define that through actions rather than intentions.
Yeah, exactly. And, that's the living part of intentional, right?
Yeah, and so now I'm just, it almost seems, you know, I guess my call is somewhat, you know, that I think I was settling in even in my marriage because I was afraid of divorce, but now it's upon me. There has to be health, you know, and recovery, you know, beyond divorce, if it comes to that.
Well, Connie, we're advocates here that God is a God of restoration, and we see healing in marriage. Sometimes it occurs, sometimes it doesn't. It takes two people who are cooperative enough to say they want to make this work, and as Christians, submitting under the power of the Holy Spirit to make it work. Sometimes that happens, sometimes it does not. And you get gun-shy, as they call it. You know, you've had that go off in your face, as it were, and now you're wondering, is it true? Is his behavior really representative of his heart? Is he really changed? You don't want to get into a situation again where you're going to be hurt. But, you know, life is full of that in terms of decisions that we make. And it's understandable when we walk into a marriage. Let's face it, on the day we get married, most of us have high levels of trust. We have no reason not to. And if they have had, they've been resolved in our minds. And then all of a sudden, there's a break in trust. And that's why this is such a huge issue. When there's a trustworthiness issue in a marriage and a person can't be trusted at the core issues of the vows that are taken, these kinds of calls occur. And Connie's call is representative of many hearts today, many lives, many people who are struggling today. And I think it's a reminder that every day we need to be intentional in making our marriage work. It's easy to focus on urgent things, isn't it? Right there in front of you, like a burning bush you got to deal with right now. And in the process, Martha was focused on serving and frustrated because her sister wasn't helping, and apparently frustrated that Jesus wasn't getting it. And she lost that moment. Where Mary was there at the feet of Jesus doing the best part. And the fact is, Jesus did see it, he did get it, and he waited for that intentional moment to speak into the life of busy, busy Martha, as he said, being distracted. You are so distracted, Martha, from the things that matter. And if you haven't read the story, it's a powerful reminder and frankly a powerful picture from the Bible of what we refer to as the unintentional life. Busy, maybe doing good things, in her case, cleaning and serving, but not doing the best things, not doing the intentional thing at that moment. Because you know what? Cleaning and service might come a little bit later after Jesus is gone. But when Jesus is there to, like Mary, be at his feet and absorb all of his attention and love and teaching, powerful thing. And again, intentional living is about moments. In fact, the teaching this month for our members is on the topic of moments matter. One of the most important lessons that I've been teaching. It's coming your way. As you know, it comes to your email box. And a reminder, if for some reason it doesn't arrive, let us know. Sometimes it can get in a spam folder. Please check that out. We're including not only the teaching, but we also share an archive teaching from the past, both video and audio, and some copy that'll be very encouraging as you read it. So it's our way of just staying in touch and loving on you and thanking you for your support. And also, in addition, this month, for all new members, those of you who are joining us today in monthly support to be a part of this journey of intentional living, you'll receive the Moments Matter teaching plus the download of the 101 things you can do to build lasting relationships. And so today, go to theintentionallife.com. That's our web address, of course, theintentionallife.com. There's a little donate button there. You click on it. And I just want to say in advance, thank you for standing with us, helping us take this message of experiencing God's best for our lives, to know what God's intentions are for our lives and then living those intentions every day. That's what we want for you, your grandkids, and our world. First of all, to know Christ, know Him personally, and then live that out every day. So again, thank you for joining us. I wish we had more time today. We don't, but love your comments, please. Share them at 888-888-1717. And God bless you. Thank you for your support and prayers for intentional living. We'll see you next time from the Intentional Living Center.